for Success. You may have heard of it. In fact, it's still considered the Bible of dress today. How we dressed obviously makes a difference. Whether the world thinks so today or not, it does make a difference. I remember my wife and I going to a funeral in Indiana one day, and we were all dressed up, and we had something we forgot, or we had to run into a Walmart. Well, we're kind of overdressed for Walmart. You know what I mean, I guess. You would not believe how the people treated us because we were dressed like this. I'm the same old guy that walks into my jeans. But because I had the dress, I was treated differently. People obviously notice. And the Apostle Paul here says that we, as believers in Christ, need to dress differently. We need to look differently. The Apostle Paul instructs the Christians concerning their walk and their wardrobe in chapter 4. And beginning in verse 17, Paul says, we must no longer walk as unbelievers do. They walk in the futility of their minds, meaning their reason, their understanding, their conscience, their affections are all morally and intellectually worthless. Now that's quite a blow. I mean, I think about these brilliant men. And I wasn't the first in line when I got intelligence. But I'll tell you what, some of the things that they're coming up with today are just beyond belief. Take care of the earth and get rid of the people. You know, just, I won't even go there. They are totally depraved, just as I was. Because they still have a heart of stone. And verse number 19 describes their character. However, when you come to verse number 20, there's a big contrast established by the conjunction but. Notice as I pick up in verse 17, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding and alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous, have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. He's speaking to us. We didn't learn Christ that way, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. We weren't taught that way. You see, there's a big contrast established by that conjunction there. And Paul reminds every believer that they did not learn that kind of life that is described, being callous, given up to sensuality, greedy, and so on. You didn't learn that kind of thing from the Lord, that character. Jesus was the subject of our teaching, and Jesus is the teacher, as this passage says, as he taught through the Apostle Paul, as he taught through pastors throughout the ages. Jesus is the teacher. Jesus is the subject of their teaching as well as the teaching itself. Now, let's look at our passage today. I want us to get an overview of the text. I want us to get an understanding of the text. And then I want to have an application of the text. Our text is really, really long. So bear with me as I read these three verses, all right? Chapter 4, beginning with verse number 22. He says, well, let's pick it up at 21 so we get the whole context. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, here's what you were taught, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, what I'd like to do, first of all, is basically compare verse number 22 with verse number 24. There's a lot of parallels in here. By that I mean, let's look at the first. First, you put off the old person in verse 22. That is paralleled with what happens in verse 24. You put on the new person in verse 24. Makes sense, doesn't it? Take off this coat, put on another coat. Take off the old, put on the new. The parallel between chapter 4, verse 22 and verse 24. The second is this. Verse 22 says, the old person corrupts, or corresponds, rather, with the former way of life. In other words, it's kind of equal to the old man, is kind of the old self is the old way of life. That's what he's talking about. In verse 24, the new person corresponds with God. Okay? There's a contrast. There's a difference. The third observation that I'd like to make with regard to a parallel is verse 22 says, the old self is corrupted through its desires. It's corrupted through its desires. Verse 24 says that the new person is created in righteousness and holiness. Contrast. And then the fourth observation that I'd like to make this morning is this. Verse 22 says that the desires that ruined the old person, were based upon deceit. Satan is a deceiver. And when we live according to his Bible, we are deceived. Surely you won't die. As I heard this morning, that Adam. But it would have been Max. You see, we were deceived. And the old people who live in the old man, who have the old nature, are deceived. Now, notice what he says. The contrast in verse 24 says that righteousness and holiness, there's holiness, being like God, of the new person are based upon truth. Truth. Now, what is truth? In our world today, you have your truth, I have my truth, we all have our truth, and we're just happy together, aren't we? No. This is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He's the truth. And no man comes to the Father except through the truth. You don't go by your own way. If you do, you're deceived. Now, there we have basically our overview or our observations about the truth or the text. Let's now look at the understanding of this text. You see, I tell you the truth. As I looked at this text, it drove me crazy. Because, as I read the Bible, the old man is dead. Romans 6, he's dead. And yet here, Paul says, put off the old man. What are you talking about, Paul? It drove me crazy. Well, I think I have an understanding of it. And I want to share it with you today. Verse 23 is short, but it stands in the middle as the key that unlocks the door. It unlocks the door. Now, the essential to understanding this passage is the meaning of the old man. The old man. In the context of how it's written here in the book of Ephesians. Let's review the other two passages where the old man is used. Romans chapter 6. Romans is probably one of our favorite chapters or books of the Bible, because there we understand that we are saved by faith alone. And that's it. Now, Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 6 says, "We know that our old man or our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." Now, I may not be the brightest bulb in the whole world, but that says the old man's dead. He's dead. And that dead means dead. I have seen a lot of dead people in my life. I've been in a lot of funerals. Dead people do not respond. And dead men do not respond to God. They must be quickened. They must be made alive, according to chapter 2. So what is he talking about? Here we have Paul saying in chapter 6, of verse 6 of Romans, he's dead. He's done. Well, he's in his unregenerate state. Well, you see in verse 6 of chapter 6 of Romans, he says the old man, in other words, the unregenerate state of man, is dead. And he's crucified with him, that is Christ, in order that the body of sin might be viewed the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Now, the body of sin, he kind of, in chapter 6 and in part of chapter 7, I believe that the word sin is used 25 times. 24 of them is pictured as a body. A body. And so sin is viewed as a master, as one who orders us around. Sin is in charge of our lives. Sin is in charge of the old man. Sin is our master, and we obey our master, sin. But when the old man is dead, according to chapter 6, verse 6, then he says that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. It's no longer our master. When we are dead to sin, sin is no longer our master. When the old man is dead, it's not our master. We're not slaves to it anymore. And we must no longer be enslaved to sin. That's what the remainder of verse 6 says. So that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Now that ought to relieve us all. We do not have to sin. Sin is not our master any longer. Our old man is dead. And sin, the boss, has no control over us whatsoever. He is brought to nothing. He's not our master. We don't have to listen to him anymore. Well, let's look at the other passage that uses the old man the same way. Not only in Romans, but also in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. In chapter 3 and verse 9, Paul writes, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man or the old self with its practices." Here again, old man. He's dead. He's dead. Notice, both passages view the old man as having been crucified and already put off. Or the word put off there has the idea of put out of business. Isn't that cool? He's put out of business. We no longer have a business relationship with him anymore. There are people you'd like to do away with having business with him. They're just hard to deal with. Well, Satan's one of them, and you don't have to do business with him anymore. He's out of business with you. And the tense here is past tense. It's over. Now, Wednesday night, we weren't here. And I'm sorry I wasn't here, but my brother from Florida and his family were up here, and my brother's a last-minute guy, and I told my wife, it'll be Wednesday, I'm sure. He wants to get together, and sure enough, that was the only night that was available. But I got to see my brother, and I got to see my two nieces from Florida and their kids and their husbands, and it was a great time. Hadn't seen them for 3 years or so. But one of the things we did is we drove down Main Street of Coshocton. You talk about a sad, sad state of affair. When I was there as a kid, Man, everybody went to town on Friday night. They parked their cars. They talked to each other. They all went shopping, you know. Now it looks like a ghost town. Building is business is just closed. Nothing. Out of business. That's sad. But this is great. Satan is out of business. We don't have to do business with him anymore. It's past. The old man is dead. But the problem with me is this. I went to Ephesians and our text says the old man still is in business in a sense. Isn't that what it says? I mean, look at verse number 22. He says here, to put off yourself or your old self. This is not past tense. Do we have a contradiction in Scripture? No, we don't. What's going on here? Well, let's look at our text. What's up with this? Why does Paul state the old man is still present in our behavior? It seems as if he's saying the old man is not really out of business. Well, he is. It's kind of like the old man is dead. And I tried to think of something that would, you know, I know that you're city people, but just bear with me, okay? I lived in the country. And when we had to have chicken dinner, we chopped off the chicken's head. And you know what happened? The chicken went around. He was dead, but he's still flopping around. The same with a snake. Cut off his head, what's he do? He's still... And I think that's kind of an illustration of this. The old man is dead, but somehow we still have the old disposition to sin. We still have the sin nature ourselves, and we will not rid ourselves of that sin nature until we are resurrected and taken to glory. So, we deal with the old disposition. We deal with the old sin nature. Now, notice what he says here. We have been crucified with Christ, and we are no longer under the domination of sin itself. But having been crucified with Christ, we've already put off and we have broken our business relationship with Satan. But he's still squirming. So what do we do? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, it's interesting here that the word old is a Greek word which means old or ancient or no longer new, worn by use. The word is something that has been worn. Vine says in his dictionary, the old of what belongs to the past. The believer's former self before his conversion, his old man. Now, let's straighten that out a bit. Man, his old man. All right. Here we have the word man. It's the word anthropos, which we all understand that word. It occurs over 500 times in the scriptures. It means a human being, whether male or female. It has more precise use also to distinguish man from beings or different orders. In other words, he's a man, he's not a cow, okay? With reference to twofold nature of man as well. He has a body, he has a soul. He has a spiritual part, and he has a material part and an immaterial part. And so here he is. A.T. Robertson, Greek scholar, speaks and says this way. So putting off the old man in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 refers to putting off the behavior, the attitudes associated with the old man. The old nature, the old disposition that we have. You know, sometimes I get a new pair of shoes and I like the old ones better. Right? And that's the way it is with our nature. We still have our old nature. And we have to put off these things that we do. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's cheating. Maybe it's stealing. Maybe it's swearing. Whatever it is. We have to put it off because we have a new nature. The old man is dead, but the old disposition is still squealing or squirming and running around the barnyard, even though the head's cut off. So, putting off the old man in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, refers to putting off the behavior and the attitudes associated with the old man. Note that this exhortation to believers is not requiring the removal of the old man literally, since the old man has already been crucified and put off. He's been put off at regeneration when we were saved. The putting off happens when the believer has was taken out of the old Adam and put into the new Adam, Christ. That's when we got the old man died. But we still have the behaviors and some of the attitudes. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 calls for the believer to live according to the new man. And new here, the meaning is that which is unaccustomed to. It's something that is unused. It's not something that's new in time, but it's new with regard to a former quality. It's different nature. It's contrasted with the old. In other words, I used to use God's name in vain. Now I use God's name to praise Him. A different form. Same name, but different contrast. The parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10 contrasts the old man with the new using a different Greek word. The word there, new, is this. The term means new in respect to time. Because in Colossians, I have a new man. So I've been born again. It's new to me. It's different. So the word choice of old and new in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9 speak of a more precise way of the believer's continuous constitutional change. We are changed. We're new. We're a new man in Christ. The old man, the unregenerate man, has been, past tense, put off. The new man has been put on. But here in Ephesians, he's speaking with reference to our disposition, how we behave, our attitudes. Paul has led the use of the term old man in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. Instead of a more precise word, flesh, he became familiar. What he did is he says, put off the old man. It's kind of like what happens in our speech. The Hebrews were this way, and perhaps he picked it up from the Jews. I don't know. But they said things in generalities. You know, we say, I will cling to the old rugged cross. Why would anybody cling to an old piece of wood? That's not what we mean when we do that, is it? We cling to Christ and the all that took place there. Cling to the cross. We're not taking it literally. And Paul's doing the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4. Get rid of the old man. All that goes with it. Get rid of it. So he's using it in kind of a picturesque kind of a way, rather than more figuratively than literally. So Paul uses old man literally in Romans 6, and he uses it literally in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, but he uses it in a kind of a figurative way here in chapter 4, verse 22. So here we have it. But how do we get there? How do we do this? How do we take off and put on? We're not talking about every morning I get up and I go to my closet and I find righteousness and I put it on. You know? And he's not talking about us weaving righteousness of our own desire and of our own, I'm going to be righteous, of our own will and volition. I'm going to do right. How many people have tried that? They've probably already broken all their resolutions they made a week ago. It's not that. It's not weaving righteousness, it's wearing righteousness. And how do we do that? I think, as I said before, the key is found in verse 23, between. Notice what he says in verse 23. He says here, "And to be renewed in the spirit of your mind." The application of our text, how do we become renewed in the spirit of our mind? The answer is to fill our minds continually with truth and spiritual and eternal and heavenly thoughts. Remember what Paul said when he wrote the second epistle to Corinth? He said this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18. Paul says, "For which cause we faint not," in other words, we don't lose heart, "but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." And you stop there and you say, "Well, how, Paul?" He says, here's the answer. "While we look not for the things which are seen, but for the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." And oh, how we get excited about those, don't we? We were so excited on the 31st of December until the last second of the game. Something temporal. We get excited about that. But do we get excited about the unseen? As Mark was in the early hour? He was excited up there when he was teaching. Why? He was excited about the unseen. And so, as we look at this, Paul continues and says, "But the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul was renewed in spirit and mind by filling his mind with the unseen truths of eternity. That's how he did it. "So that the thoughts and the ways of the old man are replaced with the thoughts and the ways of the new man." How's that done? Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Paul says, "Set your minds on things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth, for we have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Fill your mind with God's truth. That's how it's done. Remember what we studied in the book of Ephesians a few weeks back in chapter 1, verses 18 and 19? Paul prays that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that we might know what is the hope to which God has called us, and to what are the riches of his glorious inheritance, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power? Why does he want us to see these things with our eyes, the eyes of our hearts? Because these are the unseen things. These are the things that are eternal. Because this is what renews our spirit and our mind when it's full of the truth of God and his promises. Now, back up to chapter 3 in the book of Ephesians, verses 18 and 19. And here Paul prayed that we might have strength to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If we're going to look dapper, if we're going to look chic, so to speak, spiritually, here's the key: filling our hearts and our minds with God's word. That's how we put off and how we put on. And so as we look at this passage, we see in an overview of the text, there are some parallels, yes. But understand this, that as we put off the old man, Paul is speaking here in the book of Ephesians in a figurative way. He's trying to get that snake from wiggling. He's trying to get that chicken to lay still. No longer have all that residue, that old disposition, that old nature that shows itself every once in a while. See, God is holy, and we are to be holy. And the only way we're going to get that way is to fill our hearts and our minds with his word. And the old man is put off. Yes, he's dead. Adam no longer has, sin has no more power over us. We're not enslaved to sin anymore. But that old disposition kind of likes those old shoes. Every once in a while, every now and then, And Paul says, put it away and put on. How do you do that? Verse 23. Fill your heart and your mind with the things of God. In fact, he says in verse 23 this, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Somebody has said the way you think is the way you act. And there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of truth to that. If you think like Jesus, you'll act like Jesus. And so, new year. We have new life. We need a new behavior. We need a new outfit. We need a new wardrobe. Don't weave it yourself. Wear God's outfit. It's right here. It's in His truth, His word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Thank you for the opportunity to learn from your word. We do confess to you that we struggle with that old disposition. We struggle with that old nature. And Lord, you've given us a solution for that. Help us to hide your word in our hearts and our lives so that we may become more holy, that we might become like you. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.